talk about consciousness. I was just told by a friend of mine that he's going to go to this wonderful consciousness meeting, and everybody's talking about how happy you can be and how your memories can be changed. And I don't know what kind of models he all had for the kind of descriptions they had for this consciousness meeting, but none of them were dealing about what is consciousness and how does it work. So thanks to Tetrionics, we can now look at the universe in a quite different way. So it might be a good idea to discuss the notion of cosmic consciousness from the perspective of Tetrionics, and to connect that to the topics which were discussed earlier, which was that about the soundscapes in our body of all the cell communications, which together amount to the thoughtscapes by which we function, by which the selves function. And so that with that we can actually translate how the consciousness of the cells and the universal field can now be described and looked at from the perspective of Tetrionics. So I'd like to make a brief introduction for those who do not know it, what Tetrionics proposes with a very elegant model which fully covers what science has found. So we can actually use Tetrionics as a model for describing and representing science. And then from that basic of what Tetrionics presents, we can then reinterpret what science has dreaded to look at, which is consciousness and the organization of consciousness. And in a way we can now do that because we can connect it to how things function in our body. And evidently, with the help of the view of Tetrionics, and with the understanding of cell communication at its core, then we can look at things very differently. So here we go, let's begin. Cosmic consciousness. The term cosmic consciousness implies that there is a consciousness throughout the universe, and that in that sense the universe is a form of consciousness and everything in the universe is a form of consciousness. Many cultures have described this in very many different ways. The word consciousness was not always used. Sometimes it was the word creator, sometimes it was the word God. Sometimes people just reduce it to something like the energy field. But let's just stay with the notion that there is an attempt to describe that there is something out there which is at the foundation of the universe as a whole, and which is also at the basis of everything in existence in the universe. From the perspective of Tetrionics, this becomes very simple. Elsewhere, I've described that the discovery of science had a very definite outcome. The study of matter led to the understanding of molecules, with the implied understanding of atoms, and the existence of a quantum as the basis of change in the universe. I've repeatedly described that you can actually say that when there is a quantum leap between atoms, then that can trigger an electron leap within an atom that can then trigger an electron oscillation linking atoms, and that can cause electron bonding, creating materials. So in that approach you could say that the quantum change is the zipper connecting the subatomic space, the atomic space, the molecular space, and the physical space. Tetronics simplifies this immensely. So if the result, the finding of science, is that the quantum change is the basis of it all, let's put it at the basis of everything. Let's represent the quantum and then see how, with the quantum, we can recreate the universe. Tetronics uses a very simple and specific notation for that. I'll not give the details of why this notation came to be. I'm just repeating that it really works, and it really works well. It confirms, it repeats, recapitulates everything that science has found, corrected a couple of errors, simplified a lot of the understanding, and gives one geometric model in which physics can now be represented. Tetronics represents the quantum by a triangle. It has a charge on one side, opposite charge on the other side. At the bottom there is a magnetic polarity with a north pole and a south pole. The quantum by definition will move, so it has linear momentum, but also it has an internal connectedness, so it also has a rotational momentum. That's for the people who already like the physics of things and want to be able to connect it to what they know straight away. This quantum, this triangle, is then the foundation of everything. The whole universe is composed of these quanta. So the universe as a whole is an ocean of these quanta. The quanta can connect up, and they all exist at the Planck distance, Planck time. So this is the smallest bit of the smallest bit that you can find in the universe as we can know it. And these quanta, because they are flat, will connect up as planes, as fields, and these triangles can fit up and that neatly mesh into each other and form very large clusters of these triangles. So on this basis you could say that this field of consciousness is the field of quanta, which is the field of polarities, or the possibility of polarity change. This actually also relates to freedom of choice. And that when you have these large planes of triangles, they are forms of information. If you look at a more physical, fundamental sense, you would still need to regard the quantum as a phase change, and thus as the capacity or the potential for change of phase, which is a reversal of polarity, which means that you can actually do the thing and the opposite thing by just flipping the quantum over. And that actually is the most basic foundation for the principle of creation. So we are now connecting the notion of the tetronic quantum field to the principle of creation, and the principle of creation is simply that you can flip a quantum. As a result, the polarity flips when you have a charge reversal. You have a phase change, and that phase change is the basis of the whole description of the scientific model of atomic, molecular, and material physics. It starts with that change of phase at the subatomic level. So now suddenly we can describe that phase change right at the foundation of the most principal layer of description of everything that exists. And then we have this large plane with these triangles. These triangles can interlock, interconnect, and part of that interlocking, interconnection story of these triangles is that two of these quanta, which have a plus and a minus charge combined, so that's unity and duality. You actually need to flip them over to change the charge, but in itself it already has this charge opposition complementarity within it, In that sense, you could interpret it as two sides of a vortex, two sides of a coin. It's the one thing. They're not opposite. They're just the two different polarities of the same thing. They're complementarities, completeness. These quanta have a magnetic charge at the bottom, so you can connect two of these triangles back to back, and in tetrionics that is called a photon. And what you can find as a photon, which is one triangle with another triangle pointing the other way at the bottom end, together that makes a rhombus shape. As a photon, when it passes by a charge detector, you will first have an electric wave, then a magnetic wave, then an electric wave, because first one quantum comes by, then the magnetic boundary comes by, and then the other quantum comes by. So the measurements of physics can actually be represented by this understanding of quanta in pairs forming photons. But that means that the quantum space is based on these quanta plus photons, and when you combine them, they're called bosons. So photons plus quanta will give, say, triangles with a direction. And that, in tetrionics, is then the plane of the most fundamental level of existence of the universe. We need to extend the scope on this. So we need to come to an understanding later on that we can interpret that as a field of consciousness. But consciousness actually requires a meaningfulness, a relevance, a connectedness to something else, and also the ability to reinterpret meaning. Like, consciousness is not something static, it is a dynamic, it is a relational perspective on information. So when you simply have the quanta in the field, that would be data, bits. When they form a field, and the field has different types of organization, and when the quanta are placed in formation, that essentially is the basis for what we would then call information. But information still needs to have an application before it can acquire meaning. Meaning need to be contextualized before it can become consciousness. There is a specific kind of reflection that is needed before you can go from data to information, from information to meaning, from meaning to consciousness. Tetrionics implies this in a very intriguing manner, and that's what this story is about. But first I need to put in place the simplicity of the model of tetrionics. Take a piece of paper, draw a triangle on it, draw more triangles on it, and just make a field of triangles which are all interconnected, and you'll see that there is a rhythm and a pattern to it all, that there is a distribution of quanta in that quantum field. The quanta can be in formation, and there's specific principles and rules by which you can do that. So you can make clusters, you can make triangles, and so on. The universe is then composed of all of that. Fields of quanta in motion. When they're coupled as photons, when the photons are part of the field, you would see them as a photon ray, which is actually part of a quantum field. The understanding and the interpretation of physics as we know it can simply be redefined by what you see on the paper when you work with that. What I'm trying to bridge is the understanding between the objective interpretation of reality, the things that we see and the things that exist, to the active, actual experience of realization. How we form part of the cosmos and how we actually actively form the cosmos by being part of it. How we are actually creators in creation. To be creator in creation, we need to have a kind of perspective that the knowledge that we have is meaningful for the application which we give it, which means that the information that we work with must be applicable to the result that we seek to achieve. And the realization that information will have consequences is implied in the word consciousness. I need a couple of steps still before I can show how reality and realization are actually totally interlinked. And specifically, I want to stress the point that all of this becomes so easy to understand from the perspective of Tetrionics. Look at tetrionics.com for a full expose of the whole principle on all of the applications and be amazed. For now, simply realize that with this model of Tetrionics, with the piece of paper that you have and the triangles on it, we already have the foundation for understanding the planes of consciousness. We still need to put them in perspective though. What we still need is to connect these planes of consciousness, these planes of information, these planes of quanta information to the material reality. We then need to see how this material reality is actually driven by and interacting with, but literally formed by and moved by the quantum field. And then we can bridge that to the level where we can see how this works in our body in the way that the cells use quantum field dynamics to reorganize atoms in forming the molecules that form the body. So that's where we actually see cosmic consciousness in action. Sorry, I'm a bit coughy today. With the quantum field of Tetrionics, there is the possibility for that field to crumple. So the triangle of the quantum, as it is displayed in Tetrionics, can actually, let's say, leap out of that plane, twist up, turn around and fall back. But in doing so, it can actually twist up, turn in and fall back together with other quanta. And when four of these quanta jump out, they can connect and form a tetrahedral shape. And what's fundamental in Tetrionics is that there is only one form of matter in Tetrionics, and that is this tetrahedral shape of four quanta. There is no other form of matter. All forms of matter are based on this tetrion. The four quanta in the tetrahedral shape is called the tetrion, and as it is a quantum, but now four of them, it will have a charge on the one side and the opposite charge on the other side, which means that these tetrahedral shapes, which are inert, they are rigid, they are three-dimensional, and these are the first, the primordial and the only forms of matter. By their tetrahedral shape, they're totally rigid. By their quantum nature, they have a surface charge, which will be either 4 times plus, 4 times minus, or 2 times plus, 2 times minus, 2 times minus, 2 times plus. Which means that these tetrions, the one form of matter, is rigid and inert. It is very specific and specified in the size that it has, one quantum length. And it also has a surface charge, which means that it can be moved by these quantum fields. So combine this idea of having this piece of paper with these triangles drawn on top of it, and realize that the triangles will have plus charges, minus charges, depending on which side of the paper you're looking at, but also that on the one side of the paper they will have plus and minus charges depending on which position these quanta happen to have at that time, and that in that sense they are like the plus and minus bits, or the one and zero bits of a computer, with the added possibility of flipping a quantum, which is what we would call freedom of choice. And that this whole plane of quanta is a combination of plus and minus charges. So if you would place one of these tetrahedral shapes on top of that paper, and you realize that the plus charges will repel the plus charges and the plus charges will attract the minus charges, then these quantum planes, these quantum fields, will be able to move matter. And in fact, that's the only way that matter can move. For matter to move, there needs to be a quantum field dynamic. Tetrionics has two forms of quantum field dynamic. The one is a linear flow which goes past the tetrion and drags it along, or simply passes it by, which is the kinetic electromagnetic field, abbreviated KEM. Let's call it, it's the linear flow of the field. But at the moment that you have these tetrions being moved by the field, these tetrions can get closer to each other, be taken away from each other. They can be reorganized with respect to each other. Their formation can be altered. And already I implied that meaningful change of information is what we call consciousness. So when these tetrions are moved around, they also will have affinity or disaffinity for each other, for the simple reason that these tetrahedral shape have these surface charges, plus minus plus minus, or minus plus minus plus, and 4 times plus, 4 times minus. It means that when you have these tetrions, the surfaces of the tetrahedron shape can then either repel each other or attract each other. For example, the plus, the 4 times plus and the 4 times plus tetrions will repel each other. The 4 times minus, 4 times minus tetrions likewise. The 2 times plus and 2 times minus and 2 times minus, 2 times plus don't have that, because they still have a plus and a minus where they could connect. And in tetrionics, when the side of the triangle of the tetrahedron on the one side is plus and on the other side is minus, they will connect, they will attract, they will snap into each other in what is called the strong force. So all the strong force bondings between tetrions is when a plus surface and a minus surface of a tetrion links up. Bear in mind that matter is inert, and the linking up of the plus and minuses will be because they have been brought into proximity by the electromagnetic field. So the tetrions, which are the basic form of matter, and as I said, we can generalize it, it's the one form of matter. The tetrions do have affinity or a disaffinity for each other by the charges that they have, but that the way they connect up requires that they are moved into relative positions, and so they are put in different formation with respect to each other, so that they can connect or disconnect. And it is that principle, being able to connect and disconnect, that the cells work with, and I'll come back to that later. We're still talking about consciousness, and our cells use that. We're just weaving it right from the bottom, using the methods of tetrionics. So we now see how two tetrions can stick together by this plus-minus force bonding of the strong force, and then suddenly you have two tetrions being clustered, connected, glued together by the strong force. In the same way, it's also possible that tetrions might be able to get close to others, but not be able to get to touch each other because something is away, for example, another tetrion. But in that level, you can have that, for example, a plus, 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 plus tetrion and a minus, 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 minus tetrion can link up, or that of a plus, minus, plus, minus, minus, plus, minus, plus tetrion, they can meet on the sides where the plus charges on the one tetrion are next to each other, the minus charges of the other tetrion are next to each other. And when they connect at the ribs by this charge opposition, that's called weak force in tetrionics, in physics. When you have a plus minus, have four times plus tetrion and four times minus tetrion, you can actually also link them at the tip, which then is called the derived force. It means that the sticking together of the tetrions will determine how tetrion clusters are formed. And on the website tetrionics.com, you can find beautiful representation of all the subatomic particles which can be formed by tetrions connecting up to each other in different constellations. So there we have this notion that we have this quantum field, we have these tetrions, and basically they're complementary to each other, as the yang and the yin. But we also have the two charges on the tetrions themselves, by which they can connect or repel each other. Again, the yang and the yin. We also have different ways in which these tetrions can connect up, gluing at the edges, gluing at the sides of it, gluing at the tip of it. So there are very good reasons why clusters of tetrions can hang together. But still, in these clusters of tetrions, the electromagnetic field, the universal quantum field around it, will be in motion and will be moving with respect to these clusters, and will have an effect on what these clusters can will do with each other. And that is where I need to come back to these two kinds of flows, the linear flow and the circular flow. When you have a cluster of tetrions, and I can really advise you to build them, get the paper, get the pencil, get the scissors, get the glue, and play with this. Because the shapes tell you more than when you try to do it in the mind, for the simple reason that your mind sometimes gets confused between one, two, and three dimensions, because it's so flexible and working with between them. And then the models on the table actually stabilize your thought on, okay, this is the three-dimensional world of the tetrions, and this is the two-dimensional realm of the quantum fields. When on the table you have these clusters of tetrions, and you have the piece of paper that you slide underneath with these plus, minus, plus, minus, plus, minus charges, then it will influence these clusters. And when it is a flow going by the cluster of tetrions, that in tetrions called a chem field. It's a linear flow. Essentially, we could call that exergy. It is the energy that is brought into the cluster, or the energy that is taken away from the cluster. It is the ongoing flow of what goes in, what goes out. This through flow. And if there is a large cluster, it could, in a way, fill it up, but only if there is a possibility for that flow within that cluster to get caught in the cluster and turn into that other form of flow, the circular flow, the BEM field, as it's called in tetrionics. So then you can have a flow of the quantum field which has been moving into that cluster but started to be turned around in the cluster and is being caught up in that cluster and starts to run around in circles within that cluster. That's called the BEM field, and that is what physics calls the energy, the electromagnetic field as it is contained, stored, and running around within that cluster. So simply, we're building up to a deeper understanding. We're still bridging the gap from the cosmos to your body, and from your consciousness to what the cells are doing. We're talking about conscious cosmic consciousness and how we work with that. But I still need a couple steps before we can get there. And I'm really glad that I can use tetrionics, because everything then suddenly becomes so simple to grasp and explain. So with these clusters of tetrions, the linear flow can add movement to it or subtract from it. But there will be a need for a circulation to start up internally for it to become energy. So suddenly we have a fully different understanding of physics, because we now know what energy is, where it comes from, and we know that energy is still the universal cosmic field, but that it is now localized within matter. And heat is a form of energy, which is simply the circular currents within the matter shaking it more or less. And the radiation is the flow in and out. Chem flows, we can now see that's the current going by, going back out again. So then we, in a way, have started to build the principles of a universal computer. We now have a state, which is tetron, and we have a changed state, which is the quantum field. We have now a bit, a tetron, which can store information, and we have a variable bit, which is the quantum field, the quantum that can flip. And more specifically, we have a kind of mirror in the material form of what happens in the non-material form. We are now able to link the immaterial to the material, let's say spirit to body, or consciousness to matter. So in this understanding, we can then see that these clusters of tetrions can take in energy, can store energy, can transform energy, can release energy. And this, at the most basic level, is what the cells do, what the organs do, what the body does, what nature does. So here we see the process at its core, and we also understand that the magic of creation is actually in the link between the linear flow and the circular flow. Because when the linear flow goes into the cluster of tetrions, it simply passes things by, and nothing has been stored, nothing has been achieved, so to say. It is information, but it is not consciousness. There's no reflection on it. In order to get reflection on it, it literally needs to reflect. And for those who understand the principle of laser, bear that in mind. So the flow that got into it bounces off the tetrion surfaces, starts to spin around within, and thereby creates an internal momentum like a gyroscope. And it internalizes energy. And depending on the kind of shape of the tetrions and the size of the cluster, the complexity of it, there are many levels and layers of energy that can be circulating around in there. And also bear in mind that when we talk about this internal circulation, later on we come back to the same picture with the circulation of the feed-forward and feedback loop between the cells when they communicate. And so we are now looking at the universal foundation of that. What we now need to bear in mind is that we need to understand that there is a switching possibility between this linear flow and this circular flow, and that the form of the tetrion cluster is, say, a computational device. It's like a filter on how this can happen, if it will happen, how this will happen, how often it will happen, and how much it can happen. Because evidently at some point when there is more energy that can build up in the system, then the forces that hold these tetrions together can balance out, then these tetrions will be pushed apart by the flow. That, by the way, is the fundamental principle by which the cells are able to split atoms and link atoms. They are using the change between the linear flow and the circular flow to splice or slice molecules, and thus to connect or separate atoms. We don't even need to look at the complexity level of the atoms and the molecules, because the principles are already there at this first level of seeing triangular tetrahedra being clustered together and being used as buckets and as sails and as rudders for navigating this ocean of quantum information of phase change. We are now very close to being able to make an immense leap. By understanding that what we are looking at here is the relationship between a quantum field, and we can also look at that in terms of a wave field with triangular waves, which is quite important to remember that all of it is composed out of these triangle shapes. That changes the mathematics, and it changes the simplicity of the calculations of it, because you can actually replace them by a geometry. But still, it means that we have a wave field on the one hand, and we have particular matter on the other hand, and essentially that's just a tetrion. It can cluster in different way, different sizes, and different degrees of complexity, up to the size of what we see as planets and so on. But the principle of it is still there at that most fundamental level. Now let's extend the scope a bit, because I in a way want to now build the bridge from the other side of the valley of thought. Having started with this universal field of quanta, the quanta in formation, so it's an information field of quanta which is in motion, they can churn up this tetrahedral shape. So there is a physical reference which is inert, solid, and it can bounce up and down, be moved by this quantum field. We have that understanding in place on the one side of the bridge. Now let's go to the other side of the bridge and use the understanding of the quantum field as a connector. Understand that a quantum field is a field. And instead of a field, we could also look at the ripples of the waves on an ocean. We can also look at clouds in the sky. As I've mentioned in other talks, the dunes on the desert, the mountains on the planet, they're all aspects of that. We could also think of it as, say, the sound waves around the loudspeaker, or let's be more specific, the sound waves around an orchestra. Or if you could imagine that, if you put a DVD or a CD on a table, and you imagine that the sound which is contained on the surface of the CD sort of pop it out of there as the sound that comes out of the loudspeaker. But then instead of seeing it come out of the loudspeaker, you imagine that it comes straight out of the CD or DVD, and that instead of seeing it disappear, you see it slowly mushroom out of the CD as a cloudscape, as a soundscape. And then you can understand that there are forms of sound which are coherent, and now I want to bridge that directly into the body. I just want to sidestep a lot of things and bring it back to the essence that in our body all the cells communicate, and the cell communication is based on one simple principle, that the cell, the first cell that your body started with, is divided again and again and again. The process of cell replication implied that matter, molecules, atoms were reorganized back into phase space, and then a doubling takes place and two cells come out from the atomic, back to the molecular, back to the physical. And the internal cell cycle, which existed in that first cell, is suddenly seen back as two cell cycles now interlinked between the two newly formed cells. So you could actually say that the first cell was turned inside out, quite literally, and that as a result of that, the cycle of the cell has now turned inside out, also as a feed forward and a feed back between the two cells. And in the topic of metamusics, it's then explained that this feed forward and feedback communication between the two cells, which keeps on linking them, actually is physical, chemical, electromagnetic, and photonic. And that means that all these stages that the cell went through in the division and multiplication is also what plays in the communication of the cells. It's still physical, chemical, electromagnetic, and photonic. All of these cells have these forward and feedback loops. All of these cells have the cell cycles. Now, for a moment, imagine, as we do in mathematics, that this cell cycle is a tone, and that this feed forward and a feedback is a tone which is a variable tone. It can tune up a bit, tune down a bit. So you can actually play with that note a bit. But then the more cells you have, the more notes you have, and every cell division adds another feed forward and feedback loop. So all of these cell cycles and communication cycles are interlinked in one large network of loops within loops within loops. But that is just another word for a wave field. So when we look at the physiology of the body, which is all of these feed forward and feedback loops between the cells, we are actually able to look at that as a wave field. And what we do in mathemusics, we actually compare it to a sound field, a bit like that music of the symphony orchestra hanging above the CD that you put on the table. So in the body we have this whole field of waves bouncing up and down between each other. They're all interconnected, and they have the whole range from material to chemical to electromagnetic to photonic. which, if you look at it a bit more precise manner, would mean that at the material level you're dealing with the bound electrons, things don't move. At the chemical level you're talking about electron oscillation, they can move a bit. At the atomic level you're looking at electron jumps. It actually can flip states between electric and magnetic, so it's like more gaseous. And at the far end, at the photonic, you can see that it is actually directly connected to the quantum field. So this whole process of communication in the body is actually using this whole principle of the quantum field. On the one side, at the photonic, it is directly connected to the quantum field. At the subatomic level is the quantum field, the light field. At the atomic level, you're working with the interchange between electric and magnetic. At the transformative level of the cell communication. Then at the chemical level, you're talking about the electron flows within the body, which is quite literally the software in the hardware and the programming of the computer. And at the physical level, you're talking about the hardware of the software, which is the Stradivarius violin and casing the vibrations in such a way that they can interplay most harmoniously with each other. So now we have two sides of the story. On the one hand, we have this universal plane, series of planes, layers of plane, whole field of planes of the quantum field, within which we know that there are tetrions. The quantum field moves the tetrions, the quantum field reshuffles the tetrions, and as a result of that, the tetrions can connect up and form larger clusters. On the other hand, we know that the cells communicate. In their communication, they span the whole width from physics to chemistry to electromagnetism to photonic, which means that they are able to switch the degrees of freedom of the materials from the bound electrons to the oscillating electrons to the jumping electrons to the jumping photons. We're still talking about quantum consciousness. And what I now need to show is that these two sides of the story are directly connected. So let's say the quantum story is with the quantum field and the tetrons. The consciousness part is connected to this talk of the cells with all these reorganization of vibration, this whole soundscape and thoughtscape as it exists within our body. And what I now wish to do is to sort of hammer them together by showing how they are connected. And the connection is actually within the cell. So when we look at the whole body, we can in a way forget that notion and bring it back to the first cell from which the whole body started, and realize that in this process of cell division, the cell is actually working with the alchemy of going from matter to molecules to atom to phase space and back again. But that in the result of that, the cells then actually keep contact with the next cell that is formed out of itself. And the two cells are interconnected and linked because they exchange molecules between them. And in the production of these molecules, the cells are working with quantum consciousness, because we are then dealing with the same principle as I described of sticking together tetrions and forming clusters and having the ability to bring electromagnetic quantum field energy into that system. As I said, I prefer to call it exergy because it comes from outside or it goes back out. So cells are able to use those two flows of tetrionics, the linear flow and the circular flow, and cells can also flip between them. That's where we have the dynamic of freedom of choice. We're still working towards this notion of quantum consciousness, cosmic consciousness. So we are now showing that the cosmic consciousness lies in the quantum field, but now we still need to see how it works within the cell. So we need to look at this dynamic of the cell producing molecules, because evidently if cells can replicate themselves, they need to produce molecules. If cells produce molecules for the proteins, the enzymes, the hormones and the pigments, they produce molecules. If cells produce collagen for the connective tissue, if the cells produce calcium for making the bones, the cells are able to organize and reorganize atoms. So everything that I described before of the play of reorganizing tetrions, if you scale it up a bit, then you're having the same story for atoms. Please look at the story of tetrionics, because it has a wonderful, much simpler, much more logical representation for the atoms. But what the cells do at the level of the atoms, they can also do at the level of the molecules. And as a result of that, the cells are able to build the body materials by sticking molecules together. So the cells are actually able to literally do this alchemy of zipping and unzipping between bound electrons, oscillating electrons, jumping electrons and jumping photons back again. So cells are able to use the linear flow and the circular flow of the quantum field so that they can organize and reorganize atoms in forming molecules, and that they can actually reposition molecules. So at that level, we need to reconsider everything we know about the body and understand that everything in the body is electromagnetic. The processes which make the body are electromagnetic, and the result of the processes have to do with electromagnetic properties and principles. Just like right at the start of the story, there is this field of electromagnetic, had the quantum field of quantum polarities and phase change, and there are the tetrions, which are material. Likewise, in the body, the materials are simply the sounding board or the echo chamber within which the cells are orchestrating their electromagnetic communication at the full level, from the material to the chemical to the electromagnetic to the photonic. So in that sense, the whole body is a computer, and all of the materials of the body is like a motherboard of a computer that simply helps to process the information for the enhancement of the communication between the cells. But it means that the cells are creating the body on the basis of their capacity to use the linear flow and the circular flow of the quantum field in connecting atoms into molecules or separating molecules back into atoms. And that, of course, is the core of, say, cosmic consciousness as we live it, that the cells are actually using the cosmic quantum field as the basis, as their tool with which they work. And they don't need sledgehammers, they don't need lots of energies, they don't need force to reorganize the molecules, because they use cunning, they use understanding. All of the atoms have their specific spectrum, their signal, all of the molecules likewise, the cells use that and they interweave with that and they play with that sing-song of these different melodies that these vibrational patterns represent. And as a result, they can recompose atoms into molecules and back again, but they do that by these linear and circular flow changes. I repeat that again and again because it's so important to realize that cells are not using physics. Physics is the amplifier or the mirror or the reflector of the process, and the body as a whole is a bit like the laser chamber in which the light can stabilize itself so that it can come out as a coherent beam. In this case, the whole body works to make a light field so coherent that it can change a kind of consciousness into a more coherent kind of consciousness. We'll come back to that in another story. The enlargement of consciousness and the self-consciousness developments. Essentially, that's the core of the mystery schools. For now, we're just looking at the machinery of what happens. The cells are able to direct this flow. They use the cosmic information field and they use two parts of it. They have the field as a whole, which in a way has the information how everything connects to everything. Some people would call that the God consciousness or the universal consciousness or the universal coherence. It is the coherence of the quantum field. So in the quantum field coherent, it is like a computational grid of this is how it hangs together for now, until a quantum flip takes place and the whole polarity of something changes and new boundaries created and new conditions play and the music is changed, which is the Bhagavad Gita as it is described in India and the great song of the shamans and so on. So the cells work with this, and as a result of that they are able to materialize the body. But the materialization of the body we can look at from two perspectives. As I've described before, all of these vibrations of the cell communication within the body which form the physiology we can understand as a soundscape. It is a form of thought, it is a form of communication, it is a form of intelligence, and thus a form of consciousness. So we see the consciousness in the form of a coherent wave field. But by understanding that in the body, the physics, the chemistry, the electromagnetic and the light are all connected, we can also see that the light field, which is of course much faster, much more detailed, much more coherent, is the other start of it, and we can call that the thought field or the field of consciousness. So now we are actually labeling consciousness into the story much more explicitly, because these wave fields are not just simply data or information, but they are preserved and maintained information. And these are forms of information which are checked upon itself and corrected as needed. And then we no longer talk about information, but about consciousness. Intelligence is when we are able to adapt it to new circumstances, and consciousness is when we are able to correct it for its optimal state of being. So we then have two sides of the story in the sound field of the body and the thought field of the body filling the whole body, and being one field of vibration, and the cell is part of that. The cell works with that. The cell exists within that. The cell knows that. The cell has that. So when the cell is deciding which molecule to make, when to make it, it already knows why to make it. And in a way, it already has a bit of the information of the how else and because of it. So we can then simply compactify the whole story of cosmic consciousness to the activity of the cell in reweaving molecules by being able to split and connect atoms, by putting quantum flows between it to unhinge bonds between atoms, or to repolarize something so that they suddenly can connect up again. Which means that we are no longer dealing with a simple story about atoms having charges and then by happenstance probability physics finding each other, yes or no. No, because all of this takes place in this ambient environment, cosmic quantum field. And so there is always a context, there is always a meaning. Let's simply call it a consciousness. In that sense, the cell knows what it does, and the cell can do what it is doing. It is important to realize that this is not a force-based activity. It's a cunning-based activity. It is the understanding of the difference between the linear flow and the circular flow. And specifically, it is a realization that the forms of matter are always formed out of the quantum field. So that the material forms are always consequential to this quantum field. You could literally say this is mind over matter, or spirit producing the body. It is now simply that in tetrionics, it is the quantum field that determines the material formation and organization. And that's where we can then bring the whole story together, because then we can see that the cells are able to use the quantum field in a very precise manner, with surgical precision, having the knife and the fork of the chem, the linear flow and the circular flow, and being able to interchange between those, as a result of which energy can be put into a system, energy can be accumulated into a system, energy can be transformed in a system, and energy can be taken out of the system again. And the cells do that, all of them. And they all of them do that as part of that thought field and that soundscape that exists in the body, which we then call the physiology and the psychology. And that means that the whole of the relationship between psychology and the physiology, or the psyche and the somatic, so the psychosomatic link in the body, is found in the capacity of the cells to pull molecules apart and put them together, building the body and unbuilding the body. But the building of the body is based on that information field for which materials are used. And that changes this perspective quite a lot, because that means that it is not the materials that produce the body, but it is the cells that produce the body. So for healthcare, for example, or for spiritual care, it is about the understanding that the disturbances in the body are always based on how the cells can process their information, and if the cells are able to do so. And if cells have difficulty with that, it is more likely that there is a problem with the information that they are getting. For example, too many people are living with Wi-Fi installations next to their bed and their brain cannot process that, or there are electromagnetic masts in their neighborhood and their cell communications can't understand that, or there are chemical substances in our environment and in our body which our body has no knowledge of and cannot metabolize, cannot even understand. So there are quite a number of factors where the information around the cells is changed so that it doesn't make sense to the cells. But sometimes, as a result, they thereby forget what they were doing. And then it is necessary to understand that the cells at their core know what they're doing, because they're working with cosmic information to operate nuclear energy so that they can sort atoms into forming the molecules that form our body, and that all of them originate out of the same first cell, and all of them are there in connected in computing that information and in together building the body, and that the body as a whole is thereby the amplifier, reflector, and the Stradivarius container of that song that the cells are singing together, and that it is that song of that information processing by the cells in the body that we then experience as consciousness. If you look at it from an instrumental perspective, then the cells have created the body so that you can hear the vibrations of the universe as it sings songs around you within the body, and that within your body you can interplay with that, and through your body you can act on that. And that then connects up to the understanding of what the mystery schools had then explained, that once you realize that you are cosmic, because the cells work with the cosmic energy, and that you are a creator, because the cells manifest this cosmic energy into different forms of matter informing the body, then it is evident that the cell is the pivot in linking cosmic consciousness, the foundation where they work with the product that they build for you, which is that you can act as a creator in creation. And there is a great advantage to understanding that the cell is the pivot in that, and that the first cell, when it divides, it creates a whole network of cells, makes it more complex to comprehend, but it doesn't change the simplicity of it all. It's a single cellular process in which the cell works with cosmic information field and makes use of the material of the universe and interplays with that in forming your body, which works as a capacitor or resonator in which you can then experience consciousness in your own manner and act on that in your own art, so that you can learn from that how to be a creator in creation.